Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for such a great anointed day, Lord God. We thank you for seeing the first snow here in Spokane yesterday. We thank you for the sun shining bright this morning, or at least it was. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Father, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word, Father, that we would not be without cautious, critical thinking about the word that is here. As you give me wisdom, Lord God, let me share it correctly and correctly articulate the words that is being fed. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are in the place of the fourth chapter of James. We're going through the book of James. We did a wonderful job through the whole chapter of third chapter of James last week. And so here we go. James 4:1. The scripture reads, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire and have not, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not. Yet ye have not, because you ask not." I want to stop there with the first two. Look at what the scripture is saying. Look at clearly at what it's saying and pay attention. I need critical thinking here. Critical thinking is the application of logical principles, rigorous standards of evidence, and careful reasoning to the analysis and discussion of claims, benefits, and issues. And so I need you to critically think here. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Now, when you hear war, you're thinking big scale, but it's no different than a small scale war. It's no different than a city war. It's no different than a war between a husband and a wife, between brothers and sisters, between cousins and family members. They are all wars that we fight. They are all wars that we wage, and the enemy is behind all of them. It has nothing to do with anything, but it's saying, from whence come they? From where do these wars and these fightings among you come? That's what he is making the statement, and he's letting you know that all of them is inclusive. All of them is inclusive. And so he says, come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? And so he's asked the question, is it not coming from the very lust that war in your members? In other words, the reason why people fight, the reason why people argue is because they're feeling something. And that feeling wants its way. That's the argument. See? That's where it comes from. This country wants its way with this country. Even though it may not have rights to what this country have, it wants its way. There goes the war. See? Husband and wife. She wants her way. He wants his way. See? There goes the war. Brothers. Well, I'm going to have it my way. No, I'm going to have it my way. There goes the argument. There goes the fight. There goes the murmurings, the complainings, the things that happen. This war is coming because one side is lusting to have it his way and the other side is lusting to have it that way. If you understand that, then you can back yourself up out of the war. You can back yourself up out of the fight. I understand that the only reason you're coming at me right now is because you want to have it your way. And my initial response is, no, that ain't true. Let me tell you the way I understand it. And if I push that, then I'm trying to have it my way. There's the war. That's how it comes. Without this mentality, I'm going to make you understand that my way is right. And I'm going to make you understand that my way is right. Without that, there is no war. Without that, it's called compromise. Without that, it's called reaching an adult decision. Without that, it is called coming to a place where we can try to discuss things in love. Because what does wars do? What does arguments do? What does fightings do? What does strife and envy, how does that get in there? Because one desires to have it his way or her way, and the other desires to have it their way and the other way. And the Bible is very clear about this. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, it is only because one wants it their way. Now, there is definitely a lust issue behind it. See, lust does not always mean negativity. See, lust can just mean, listen, I desire to have it my way. It doesn't have to be sexual. See, now, when a person has the understanding that if I come back with you over this, then I'm going to get caught up into the same lust, the same strife, the same arrogance, the same pride that got the devil kicked out of heaven. When we understand that, then you back up out of the argument. Okay, you argue with yourself. I've said my piece. I've spoken what was true. You just argue with yourself. It's not even worth me getting into it with you over that, when I understand that's where you're coming from. Then maybe later on, after you done calmed down and the lust that is in your members or the lust that is in my members is not so busy barking, because I'm going to calm mine down. I'm not going to argue with you. You say what you want to. It is not going to move me and make me do anything I don't want to do. See? So if you're still writing that, I have to wait for that to calm down so that we can come together and talk and reason. The Bible says that God said, come to man. Let us reason together. Let us come together and talk with one another so that we can see what the truth is. Now, when you have that mentality and you understand that you should be reaching for what the truth is, then you come to a place where you're saying, okay, well, the truth ain't in him and the truth ain't in me, but the truth is in God. And so now that I am looking at God for his truth, Lord, what does your word say about this? Lord, on the other side, what does your word say? See, but when people are calm, they can come to that agreement. When people just want to have it their way, you cannot reach that agreement. It's never going to happen. So somebody has got to be the bigger one. Somebody has got to back away and let people say whatever it is they need to say. Even if it comes to your hurt, to the place where they're hurting your feelings, you have got to let them say what they need to say. Even if they ostracize you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, they did the same thing with Jesus. Why didn't Jesus go to war? The one that had the right to call legions of angels to totally shut people down. He never went to war, not one time, behind someone that disagreed with him. He simply told them the truth and let them deal with it. And there have been times where he just walked away. But it didn't stop him from doing what he needed to do. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. He went through and he turned over the money changers. And he did what everybody said, oh, he's getting angry. No, he wasn't angry. That was righteous indignation. He wasn't even upset about it. He called them brood of vipers, serpents in the house of God, because you have turned God's house of prayer into a marketplace. So he stood upon the truth that he knew that was true, no matter whether anybody saw it or not. So you do what you need to do and handle it your way. But I'm going to go do what I know is right. And a lot of times, chief friends have to make that decision against each other. And you can't tell me, anybody that's ever passed through high school, you know that you have to make decisions that people you personally like are doing things that you just cannot do because you see where it's going. Why? Because you're better than them? No, because you have the truth. That's the part I wish people who would argue with us understood. You have the truth. So if I have the truth, then why am I going to let you suck me in to go down a path that you want me to go through? Why am I taking long and deliberating on this? Because we need to recognize who is pushing the individual that's arguing. When it comes to lust and lasciviousness, lasciviousness is more sexual, but when it just because comes to lust, a desire that someone wants to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, what they want to do, and there's nothing sexual, you've got to see the devil that's behind him pushing you. There's a spirit that is pushing him, and that spirit may have just showed up just to antagonize you. God may be allowing it just so you can understand the test. Every battle, you don't have to fight. See, a fool is the one that if anybody says anything to me, I'm going to knock your block off. That's a fool. See, because then you're going to end up fighting the police over something they said, or someone who gets offended because someone has called them a name. That's a fool. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You can't fight every battle. So let's go back to this. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? So he's asking the question. If you answer the question correctly, you get the understanding, you have to say yes. It comes because I desire to have, and I want it. I'm lusting for it. See? And you desire to have. And you want it. And you're lusting for it. It says, 2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. See, the things that people really desire has got to be asked of God. From above. People really desire to have money, but people can't handle money. So you have to ask of God, and then God will test you and show you by testing you, training you, not testing you with evil, but train you that you will be able to understand some things you buy, some things you don't. Let me tell you, my father in heaven owns 1,000 cattle up on the hill. He owns all the gold in the world. And it may have took my son and people around me who know me well to get used to the way I do things. But I will wear a holy raggedy shirt just because I'm not done wearing it. And people look at it and say, you're the pastor of a church. Why would you wear a holy raggedy shirt? Why would you have holes in your shoes? It doesn't mean I can't afford shoes. You got life twisted. I can afford to buy and get whatever I want to get. No problems. See? But sometimes when you're building things for God, that is more important. I would rather save every penny and build a building for God so that we can meet as opposed to me getting some nice shoes and some good clothes that everybody else wants me to wear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because to me, it don't change nothing. And people get upset at you when they go out and they buy things. And I'm not talking about nobody in particular, but I'm especially in LA, the women would go and buy things. They bought me my Bibles because I would wear my Bibles out. Desire to tell you, I would wear my Bibles out. They wouldn't have no skin on them. They wouldn't even have a cover on them. That's how much I use my Bibles. And the women say, we can't have this. It's not a good look. And Sister Barbara and them did that. And Sister Michelle and them. And they bought me a Bible for my birthday. And I appreciated it so much. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I still loved it to this day. That Bible is in my truck. See? But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I am more concerned as a pastor with being good than looking good. come from that mindset, that changes the things. That you, I probably, Brother Steve blessed me with some pants and with some jeans. Zaire said, Dad, you're wearing jeans? I haven't seen you wear jeans in years. Because I just don't buy clothes for myself. And it's not because I'm trying to be all super holy or anything. It's just my weight is so up and down that I just don't see the need that every time I gain weight, I got to go buy a new wardrobe. Every time I lose weight, I got to go get I think that's just a waste of money. So why am I saying this? Because other people's perspective will start to minister to you. Other people's understanding will start to induce their ideals up on you. And then you feel like you need to fit. See, I would hang around pastors in LA that would have on Louis Vuittons and nice suits and drive nice cars. And then they see me coming up in my little old, I remember that little gray truck Zaire used to drive all around my yard when he was about 6 or 8 years old. You and Dennis. You remember that? He used to drive it all. We had a big piece of property. And he would drive it all up the front, all down the back. As long as he wasn't on the street. Couldn't nobody say nothing. That was our house. And people say, why would you drive? You're a pastor. Why would you drive that? Because I never got caught up into the money. I never got caught up into the outlook. What other people sees, I'm more concerned with being the man of God than looking like a man of God. And unless you sit down and talk to me, you don't understand that. Then people get upset when you just won't comply to the way they want you to be. My boss said, them look like bleach holes in your shirt. I said, it is, about three of them. And it was on my back. And he said, well, you know, I think you have to, like, go buy some new shirts. I said, no, if the company want me to have some shirts, write me a check. But this shirt fits my body just fine. He said, well, the company's not going to buy you a check. Well, I'm not spending my money because you say so. You know what I'm saying? I put on a cover every day. So we're in white overalls and covers where we work. You see what I'm saying? So what does it matter what I have under it? See, again, why am I saying this? Because people's ideology, the world's ideology, the world's way of doing things starts to influence us. Why is this important, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked me. Because when you see people reacting with another person from a place of anger, from a place of hurt, from a place of fighting, from a place of warring, then automatically that seems to give us permission to think that we can operate that like that too. Or I'm going to have to give them a piece of my mind. But if you look towards the hills from whence comes your help, our help comes from the Lord, then you see Jesus never operated. You don't have a right to go off just because you want to go off. You do not have a right to push your agenda to the point where it makes other people feel uncomfortable. You don't have that right. That's where wars come. That's where fightings come. That's where disagreements come. And that's where our arguments. And woe unto him who is the catalyst by which offenses come. Woe unto him. It said that in the beginning of 3. Look. First chapter, 3, number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in all things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle his old body. What does it say? For in many things, especially with our mouths, the words we say, we offend all. See, by the words we speak, we have to take into account the wars that come. They come because I'm telling you, I want it this way. No, I'm telling you that I want it this way. No, it needs to be this way. No, it needs to, okay, we need to back up. Because both of us say we love the Lord. We don't need to argue this point. And I don't feel like I need to give you the rights to concede in this place. So I'm not going to concede my principles. Now, why don't we just back away from this and then we'll come together and talk about it later when we're both calm. So that maybe you might have a point. Maybe it should be this way. Let me hear what you have to say. And when you sit down and dig like that, you'll find out that it is just somebody wanting their way. And a lot of times when you do it like that, you discover it may just be you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I needed to nail that down. I know I took a lot of time there, but I need to nail that down. In 3, it says, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Why is that important? Because at the end of 2, it says, yet ye have not because you ask not, because you ask not of God. And then you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. God knows when you're asking something because you actually need it, and when you're asking something just because you want to look good. He knows. And we make all the excuses in the world. Oh, because if you give me a super powerful Jeep that can climb mountains at an instant, then I will meet you on the mountaintop, Lord. You ain't doing that for the show of the Lord. The Lord don't need no Jeep to carry him to the mountaintop. But see, this is the way we do these things. This is the religious mindset that gets set up in people. We come up with everything under the sun to make a justification for doing what we deep down in our hearts already know we want to do so that we can look good before people. Why do I keep pointing it out? Because I want you to know, when you start trying to look good before people, instead of following the principles of God, the truth of God, then you start to operate from a place of lust. I desire that I look good before my brother. So I'm not going to let anybody come against me in front of my brother. If I had took that stand, I would have been in fights all the time, especially running men's home, because men who don't know as much Jesus as you will come up to you, argue with you, want to fight with you, and they don't care if your family is sitting there or not. You have to learn how to humble yourself and let them leave thinking. See, you gotta learn to humble yourself and let them leave thinking. And the thing about it, you cannot humble yourself in the sight of God and let people leave thinking. See, because they know they're wrong. You think people don't know they're wrong, they know they're wrong. You don't have to explain them wrong to nobody. But you gotta do good unto them. For the scripture says, Jesus said himself, blessed are ye when men revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And Jesus said, because of that, when you see this, great is your reward in heaven. So you don't just have a little reward in heaven. When you get to heaven, when you can hold your tongue and let the Lord fight your battles, when you can humbly back out of a situation by doing good to somebody who does not deserve it, God has a seat in heaven for you, because that is a spiritual holy fruit that Jesus had to bear by allowing men to take him to the cross when he had the power to destroy the whole. See, you gotta let that sink in your mind. Now, do we always say no? I don't always make it there. But for the most part, I try. You see what I'm saying? And as I get older, I'm trying to put principles in places so that you younger men don't have to go through what I had to go through to get what I got now. You should have this in your 30s. You should have this understanding in your 30s. Because we don't have a lot of time to waste. We should be able to get this principle so that we learn how to start walking, so that our house would be able to serve the Lord. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he says in 3, you ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask a what? Miss. So that means your asking is missing. When you're asking of God in prayer, when you're asking of God for something, you're asking amiss. What are you asking God for? How are you asking amiss? When he says, come and ask me. This is the key. That you may consume it upon your lust. You're asking God. But deep in your heart, you know you want that for yourself. You want it so you can look good before men. You want to consume it upon your lust so that you can stick your chest out and say, look what I did. See? God will not bless you with what you've asked for so that you can look good. God only gives us things for what? So that he can get the glory. And if somewhere deep in your heart, somewhere deep down inside you, you're trying to get God to bless you with something so that you can look good, you have already set yourself at odds with God. Now, we're not talking about the things you need. We're talking about the things you want. Because God knows the things you need. And the Bible says in Matthew that you are already blessed with the things you need. God knows you have need of food. There's no way you can ask for food when you're hungry and ask to miss. Because he knows you need. He knows you have need for a house. He knows you have need for shelter. He knows you have need to take care of your children. He knows you have need of these things. So when you ask, he gives that freely. He knows you need wisdom, so he gives that freely. But you got to ask in faith. Not wavering. In whose faith? Your faith that you could glorify yourself? Or God's faith? Faith that you can glorify him. See? So he says clearly, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And then he goes on to call them something. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. So he didn't leave that just to the men. He left that to the women. In other words, you men who go and play the whore against me because you want to ask me for something and consume it upon your lust. You women who want to go play the whore against me because you want to ask me for something and have me bless you with it so that you could glorify that instead of me. You know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, undying conflict with God. You are setting up a conflict between you and God that's never going to die. And so he would be against himself if he blessed you with that so that you could set up a conflict that you can't even handle. That word enmity is used in another place. When God uses that, explaining to the woman what she did and punishing her. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to Lucifer, the serpent. I will put enmity between her and thee, between her seed and your seed. God is saying, I'm going to put undying conflict between you and the devil, woman. It's part of the punishment. Between her seed and thy seed. Of course, the only seed that a woman ever gave birth to anybody of her own seed was Mary. It was not from the seed of the man. So that was the first typology. Well, actually, the second one, because when he said, let there be light, he was talking about the Christ. But the second one, of speaking about the coming Lord and Savior. You see what I'm saying? So, why am I saying that? Because God is not mocked. He is not going to set up undying conflict with you by blessing you with something you have no business getting. That you consume it upon your lust. Because when you do that, then you stand in the place of the devil. And God ain't setting it up like that for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Father, I just pray that those that would listen and those who are attentive under the sound of my voice, Lord God, will be blessed. Father, we ask that you will bless their souls. We ask that you would give them salvation, Lord God. We ask that you would deliver them, Lord God. Deliver them unto yourself. Deliver them in the light that they will be able to see clearly who it is they serve, who it is they should give glory to, who it is they should worship. We love you and we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I ask that you bless. Thank you, God. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
Where the evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil. The downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
What's wrong and know what's right, don't delay. Stop making rich your world anyway. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you're lying. Ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the people stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
What you can do is when it's time to get judged. See, that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forgets you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out, though. You're begging again and please. There is hope. 7 seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit. Death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
Get ready,
all your children. People, get ready, cause he's coming.